Good morning. It is so good to see everyone, especially those of you who are visitors. I join in with Brother Donnie in welcoming you into our midst. We appreciate so much you coming out and being with us. We hope that you will open up your Bibles and study with us. Our only aim, our only goal is to study and to obey the Word of God, to look into the things that God has set before us, and to be obedient to His call. And so we encourage you to study along with us. If you find that we're doing something that you feel to be not in accordance with the Scriptures, we encourage you to let us know these things so that we can look into the Word of God and find the truth of these things. But we also ask that if you find that there are things in your life that perhaps you've been practicing that are not in accordance with the Word of God, we hope that you will have the same attitude that we do, that we want to do whatever's right and we'll make whatever change is necessary to be pleasing in the sight of God. It's been said that half the world is composed of people who have something to say and can't, and the other half who have nothing to say and keep on saying it. Now, this could not be borne out more than when you walk through the checkout counters of your local grocery store, Walmart, Target, and you find magazine after magazine of the things carrying out the latest gossip. You can turn on your television set and watch shows such as Entertainment Tonight, and then all of your so-called news programs, CNN, Fox News, you name it, all of them are caught up in the realm of gossip. They have bought hook, line, and sinker that we need to know exactly what's going on in Brad and Angelina's life. That we need to know exactly how Britney Spears is doing, how her comeback is going, and that we need to know all the intimate details of all these people who the world tends to think is important. And what we need to understand is that these things are simply a carryover of the fact that speech is human nature. And we, as humans, like to talk. We like to talk a lot, and many times we don't have anything better to talk about than other people. When speech is used in the way which God intended, it would alleviate the necessity of preaching on the dangers of the tongue. But instead, we fail to realize and to remember that the tongue is the most dangerous part of the human body. We oftentimes think of the sexual side of man and that physical side and think, well, that's what mankind struggles with the most. No, that's not the truth. The tongue, our speech, is the greatest danger. It's interesting that we store dynamite. And you look in the old movies and the cartoons and TNT, warning, explosive, is pasted across the box. All these great big warnings, be careful. And I always like watching the old westerns, and you see them, they would be taking nitroglycerin, and they'd have it suspended in the wagon, and they'd have ropes holding it so it was carried, and it would be packed in with hay. Each bottle would be individually packed to try to reduce it being jostled, and they would go very carefully over the bumps. We understand the explosive power of nitroglycerin. We understand the explosive power of dynamite, and yet we fail to realize the explosive power of the tongue. David said in Psalm 39, there in verse 1, in Psalm 39 in verse 1, he said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle, while the wicked are in my presence. David understood better than people today the need to properly guard his tongue. The need to watch over the things that he was saying, the things that he was doing. And we need to follow in his footsteps. We can go further. And we can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the church there in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there in verse 20, Paul says, I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. When we look throughout the Scriptures, we can see that it clearly condemns and warns us and is full of examples of the danger of an unbridled tongue. Folks, we need to heed these warnings. We need to be careful in what we say and how we say it. We need to make sure that we don't say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Digging for the facts, we need to understand, is much better than jumping to conclusions. But that's not what we do. You go and you look in your gossip mags there, and what do? They snap a picture, and there was a picture of, I want to say it's Pierce Brosnan, and supposedly he was pouring motor oil out, but it was coffee. But it was black and it looked thick, and so they're like, he's pouring motor oil out. They want to jump to the conclusion. They try to find something somewhere that they can put onto these people. In Proverbs chapter 26, there in verse 20, the author of Proverbs, wise sayings of Solomon are good for us to read at all times. But it seems that perhaps Solomon understood this problem, because we're going to look in later in our lesson at several instances throughout the wise sayings of Solomon where he recorded Proverbs concerning our speech. But he says there in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 26, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." Now, what's Solomon saying there? He's using the idea of fire and wood. What happens to fire when you pull all the wood out? It dies. What happens to that burning ember when you take it away from the fire? It turns into a piece of charcoal. Nice and cool, and you can pick it up and you can carry it around. And what he's trying to say is that when you take away the fuel that is there in the fire disappears. And the same is true of that contentious man, that whisperer, that's just always there stirring up things. He's just always there, just trying to find something with someone and trying to stir up strife. I don't know of many workplaces where you don't have one or two or three individuals that are like that. They just don't like it when everyone gets along. And so there's always got to be someone somewhere that will... Did you hear about so-and-so? Gossip has long been a problem. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 34, verse 13, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit." I believe there are many today who are quick to judge and condemn others by talking about them, rather than heeding the warnings concerning the tongue. Many times we fail to learn all the facts about a situation. We run off, as the saying goes, half-cocked, not understanding everything behind that situation, and we go off and we say things about it which we find later to be untrue. But to save face, we never go and apologize. We need to be careful in our speech. Alan Barth said, "Character assassination is at once easier and surer than physical assault, and it involves far less risk for the assassin. It leaves him free to commit the same deed over and over again, and may indeed win him honors of a hero, even on the country of his victims." God help us if we, as members of the Lord's church, find ourselves to be caught up in the sin of gossip. In the sin of spreading falsehoods. In the sin of spreading things which are not true. When we look at the Scriptures and we see such descriptions of gossips, one would think that it would never be found among those who claim to be children of God, but yet it is. So if you would turn with me to the book of James. I would like to read James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. And James here in chapter 3 really sets the idea of exactly how dangerous the tongue is. And he describes it as a small spark that starts a fire, or the rudder of a ship that guides a great ship, and the bridle that guides a horse. When you look there in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. There in verse 1 it says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. It's interesting when we look here in the book of James, and we see there in chapter 3, I really wish that some of the late night television programs, the gossip programs that are on late night, like David Letterman and Jay Leno and Craig Ferguson and all these others that have their speeches and everything, I wish that they would pay a little bit more attention there to James chapter 3, because you like or not like President Bush, but I'm sorry, anytime you're in the public eye and you speak, you're going to speak what they like to call Bushisms, where he rambles and he can't get things out the way that he wants. I've been there. I've been speaking for 12 years. It happens to anyone. And that's the thing there. He says in James chapter 3, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. And he's setting the stage. James is setting the stage here, trying to show us that our tongue is that which needs to be guarded the closest. We had, about 2 months ago, a couple of groundhogs that came out in the driveway over here. And the kids just walked up there. Oh, they're baby groundhogs. They're so cute. And Anna quickly was like, I want to take one for a pet. And I'm like, well, I don't want to take you to the hospital and have your face repaired. And you know, I just read here recently of a fellow who had adopted a raccoon and had raised it as a pet, and just recently had his face clawed to pieces by that pet raccoon. But James says that every beast of this earth has been tamed. You look at the lions and the tigers and the bears and the things that are tamed for circuses, and how they're carried out and used in various ways. And I was reading recently about a dolphin that had been taken to restore it to its health and then released into the wild. And in the brief 3 weeks that it was there with these captive dolphins, it learned to walk on its tail there in the water. And it was doing it out in the wild, and it had taught the other wild dolphins to do that. We can teach the wild beast. But James says, the tongue no man can tame. You see, we need to make sure that we understand as individuals, we can never let our guard down when it comes to our tongue. Even the one who is most practiced in being careful in what he says and how he says it is going to fail, because no man can tame the tongue. And so that brings us to our subject this morning. What exactly is gossip? Many people go, well, gossip isn't that bad. You're just spreading facts about different people, and you're just talking about different people in various ways. It's not always bad, but let's look at what Merriam-Webster has to say about gossip. It says in its definition of a gossip, as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others, a rumor or report of an intimate nature, a chatty talk, the subject matter of gossip. Quick little clue, when someone walks up to you and goes, in a quiet, whispery voice, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? That's gossip. That's how it begins. That's how people talk. That's why when we go back and look there in the writings of the book of Proverbs, when the wise man Solomon spoke of the whisperer that stirs up strife, this is what we're looking at. This is what we're talking about. Someone who goes about spreading facts, they're true, but facts that the person would prefer not to have spread. In Wikipedia, it speaks of a gossip as being an idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. The idea is that this personal information is not meant for the public consumption, and it's released by someone else. Someone has been taken into confidence. Please, I've got this problem. I'd like to talk to you about it. Please don't tell anyone. And as soon as they get out in the car, it's not until they get home anymore and pick up the phone. As soon as they get out to the car, you're not going to believe what he just told me. But yet it's something that we find so many people caught up in so much. There are several different terms that we can find in the Scriptures that are used to refer to this idea of a gossip. When you look over and look throughout the Scriptures, you read of a slanderer, a talebearer, a whisperer, backbiting, busybodies, a troublesome meddler. These are the things that we're going to see in the Scriptures as we look into them today. And these are the things that are going to be used to describe the individuals who are gossips, who are spreading lies or spreading personal facts that are not meant to be spread. I came across a poem titled, "My Name is Gossip." And it says, "My name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am called gossip, party gossip, telephone gossip, and don't forget church gossip. I make headlines and headaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up." That's really the idea that we should have with gossip. We need to be careful in how we respond to gossip. We need to be careful in how we speak and make sure that we ourselves are not guilty of gossip. And so let's look at some more scriptures from the Word of God and see what they have to say about gossip. And the first one we want to look at is there in the Law of Moses in Leviticus chapter 19. If you want to turn over to Leviticus chapter 19, and we want to look there in verse 16 as Moses is giving the law to the children of Israel. In Leviticus chapter 19, there in verse 16, he says, "You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you're not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." You know, we read a lot of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that," and we forget that that's not all there is when it was concerning the Jews. God was very specific. "You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people." Remember, that term slander is one of those that can be defined as a gossip. A slander is the idea of one who is passing along falsehoods, knowingly passing along falsehoods. Well, we could go over and look in the book of the Psalms. We can see in the book of the Psalms there, if you look in the 15th Psalm, there in Psalm 15, beginning there in verse 1, the psalmist said, "O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart and does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend." Note there, the one who does not slander can dwell on the righteous hill of God. Folks, we need to think about these things. As we look throughout the Old Testament, we can see time after time where they were encouraged not to slander, not to bear false witness, not to bear tales against people. In the 101st Psalm, there in verse 5, the psalmist says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy." Who? God. "No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure." God's very serious about that, isn't he? Let me ask you a question. You think he's changed today? He's very serious about telling falsehoods, slandering, speaking of others behind their back under the old law. Do you think his attitude toward gossip has changed any today? I don't think so. Let's go over and look in the book of Proverbs. There in the wise saying of Solomon. As Solomon was granted wisdom by God, these are inspired sayings. And we can look there in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Think about what is being said there. We can see here that the one who spreads slander is one that is not looked favorably upon by God. One who betrays a secret or confidence cannot be trusted. Proverbs 11, there in verse 13, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. I'm rather proud of my reputation that I gained in high school. I didn't really know about this reputation until toward the end of the school year. And one of the girls that I considered a close friend, she's like, you know, I've always appreciated you because I can tell you something and know that it stays with you. I guess that was the beginning of knowing that maybe preaching was the job that I needed to go into, because you're going to have people as a preacher who are going to come and they're going to talk to you. And you're going to have to keep those things to yourself, not even speaking to your wife about it. That was a difficult thing with Anna and I being a young married couple and her knowing that people were coming and talking to me and that I couldn't share with her what was being said to me because it was of a private matter. And it's not that I didn't trust her or that I couldn't trust her. It's it was entrusted with me that it would go no further. We need to be careful that when someone speaks to us, that we keep it to ourselves. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, we need to be those who are trustworthy, that conceal a matter. And that's not concealing a sin. We need to understand that. That's not what's being talked about here. But it's concealing something that is of a private nature. We can see that gossip breaks friendship. If you look in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife, a slanderer separates intimate friends. You know, it just takes one thing to separate lifelong buddies, doesn't it? Just go and tell them something. Well, did you hear what Johnny did? Did you hear what he said about you? Well, I can't believe he said that. Well, he did. That's it. The friendship's done. It can never be what it was before. You take a husband and a wife relationship, and perhaps there is absolutely no cause whatsoever for him to have committed adultery, and someone comes to her and says, I saw your husband out with a woman. Now, if we would have sat down and looked at the facts, perhaps we would have found out that he was having a business dinner, or it was someone who needed to talk to him, something purely innocent. But because someone saw something and jumped to a conclusion, that marriage can be destroyed. Jealousy is a very big problem in the human race, and oftentimes it started purely by things such as gossip. When we look in Proverbs chapter 17... In Proverbs 17, there in verse 9, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Once again, bearing gossip destroys. That's something we're going to see throughout this lesson. In Proverbs chapter 18, there in verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. Did you hear? Oh, well, let me hear. Really? No. You don't... No, I can't... Really? And they're eager to hear more. And so they'll go, did you hear what I said? I'll tell you this if you'll tell me that. That's why we can look and see that the gossip industry is a multi-million dollar industry. Because we want to know the intimate details of everyone. Shows such as Big Brother and all these reality shows where we can see into the intimate details of individuals' lives. That's what we want. That's what we crave. We're raising a society that is filled with gossip. In Proverbs chapter 20, there in verse 19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. They do not associate, therefore do not associate with a gossip. We can look further there in Proverbs chapter 25, there in verse 23. The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. Proverbs 26 and verse 20, as we read earlier, for lack of wood the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contentions die down. In Proverbs 26 and verse 22, once again, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Now, it's not just the Old Testament that we need to look at. What does the New Testament have to say? This is the law that applies to us. These are the teachings that we are to follow under our life today. In writing to the Christians meeting in Rome, Paul warned of those who had turned from God and uses gossip as one of those things that was a sign of a depraved mind. In Romans chapter 1, there in verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which were not proper." These things are not proper. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give," look at that last phrase there, "give hearty approval to those who practice them." We're going to talk about that, I believe, a little bit more tonight. But you see this great list of those, malice, deceit, strife, haters of God, slanderers, and gossips right there in the midst. Gossip is used by the Apostle Paul to describe one who has turned away from God and is depraved of mind. But not just gossips, but those who give hearty approval to those who practice them. Folks, that's what we need to think about. Perhaps we're not the ones necessarily guilty in gossip, but we let them come to us. We let them talk to us, and we go, "Really? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there. Could you repeat that?" We need to be careful with this. Souls will be lost for the sin of gossip. As we look further in the writings of the Apostle Paul, Paul wrote of his concern of the members of the church there in Thessalonica. Remember, we've been studying on Wednesday night 1 Thessalonians, and he had a lot of wonderful things to say about them. But as we get into the second chapter, he is beginning to hear some things that he didn't really want to hear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." That's a gossip, folks. Now, you go back to verse, "We're amazed at the faith that you have and the love that you have for your brethren." Obviously, that love was starting to fail, because you don't run around talking about individuals that you love. Folks, that's what we need to understand. It should not take part within the body of Christ, within a local congregation. These things ought not to be. And I'm afraid that if the Apostle Paul were to write to many churches today, he would have to include this very thing right here. Doing no work at all, but running around all up in everybody else's business. Knowing what everybody else is doing, how they're living. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy. There in his first epistle to the young preacher Timothy, he's writing to him and in telling him about the qualifications of an elder, the qualifications of a deacon, the qualifications of a widow that is a widow indeed. And as you look there in that portion in 1 Timothy chapter 5, as he's speaking to Timothy and writing these things and saying, "These are the widows that you are to take into your number," he says, "These are the ones that you're not." He says, those that have they're over 60 years of age, they've taken care of their families, they've been married to one individual, they've raised their kids, and they've helped the poor. You help those, but refuse, verse 11, "Refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation, because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan." You know, it has seemed that for years, especially with the idea of the 40s and the 50s, when the women would meet over the fence post in the back, and we've always considered gossip to be a woman's sin, haven't we? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I've never spent any time in a locker room. It's kind of obvious, I guess. I never played organized sports, I never spent any time in a locker room, but I know what goes on in locker rooms. Gossip. I know what goes on around workstations among men as much as women. Men don't turn and look to the women and go, "Boy, he sure is preaching to you today." No, you stop and you look in your own life. Okay? We all, men, women, whoever, need to be careful. But Paul said this is the reason why the younger women are not to be taken into the number. They're not to be taken care of by the local church. They need to go on and marry again. Those that are younger widows need to go on and marry again and continue on with the responsibilities of a mother, a wife, a housekeeper, so that they don't with all that idle time because the church is paying their bills. They just go from house to house. What did you hear? Let's get together for some coffee. Let's pray. Let's play bridge. Let's do this. Let's do that. And they become gossip sessions. And men, we need to understand we are just as guilty as the women. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, there in verse 15, he said, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. Don't suffer as a gossip, folks. Don't suffer as a busybody. Make sure you are not guilty of... Really? A troublesome meddler is equal to a murderer and a thief? Yeah, remember what we talked about? Character assassination is much easier than physical murder, and much easier to get away with, and much more damage is done. Lives have been ended because of lies, slander. Suicide has been committed because falsehoods were set up in the life and they didn't know how to overcome it. They were overcome with grief. So you can see that a troublesome meddler, a gossip, is right in there with these. John wrote a stinging rebuke there in his third epistle against Diotrephes. In 3 John there in verse 10, he says, for this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does unjustly, accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Look at this. Unjustly accusing us with wicked words. Well, did you hear about John the Apostle? This is what John the Apostle, that's what Diotrephes was doing. And John says, I'm gonna call him on it when I get there. And so we can see throughout the Scriptures, it is replete with examples of slanderers, gossips, backbiters, troublesome meddlers, are all there included in these things that are sins. These things that are not approved of by God, that are to be rebuked. And Lord willing, in our lesson this evening, we're going to finish this lesson. We're going to look at some more things in how we are to build one another up and not to tear one another down. And how we are to handle a situation if it were to arise. If someone is telling us something, what we should do. And folks, we need to understand these things. Because we will be judged, not just by what we do, but what we say. But perhaps, and hopefully, you have listened to what I've said this morning and you have seen that gossip is in fact a sin. And you know what? Gossip is not a private sin. It's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible for gossip to be private because you're spreading things with the intention that it spread further. And so I don't think that gossip is one of those things that you can just go, okay, God, I've gossiped. Please forgive me. And expect full and complete forgiveness. God expects full repentance. He expects us to publicly acknowledge the things that we have done in a public way. Perhaps you're here and you've been found guilty of gossip. Perhaps you're here and you've been found guilty of talking of someone in a way that you should not have spoken. Saying things about someone that you would not say to their face. That's gossip, folks. Perhaps we need to repent of the gossip in our lives. If you're here and you find that you are guilty of such, make your life right with God and strive to turn away from being a busybody, a troublesome meddler, a gossip. But perhaps you're here and maybe gossip isn't something that you've got a problem with. Perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is simply this. He came to this earth. He died upon the cross that we could be saved from our sins. He lived that perfect life so that He could be that perfect sacrifice so that we who are imperfect, we who are nothing but worms and just ugly things can be perfected, can be cleansed, can be made whole. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. The question is simple. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Belief, however, is not enough. The demons believed. The Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish people, many of them believed but refused to confess for fear of being cast out of the synagogue. Saying that you believe is not enough. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? They recognize him as the Savior. but they've not done what he's told them to do. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. We need to confess our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of our sins, and be buried in baptism. Now, there's nothing special about that water as far as it being holy water, as we talked about this morning in our Bible study. No certain blessings have been set over that water, anything of that sort. It's just water. But the idea is Jesus said, you do this, and therefore we do it. The Apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, when he was there in the city of Damascus, he'd been praying and fasting for 3 days when Ananias came to him and said, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Have you obeyed the gospel call of Jesus Christ? If not, then there is not a home in heaven laid up for you, but you can have that by simple obedience. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've committed some other sin besides gossip, or you've been caught up in something. If it's of a private nature, then pray to God for forgiveness. But if you feel like you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you overcome the sin, or if you've done something that you want it to be known that you're not going to practice that anymore, today is the day to make your life right with God. Today is the day of salvation, the author of Hebrews says. Do not harden your hearts as they did in the days of the rebellion. Make your life right with God as we stand and as we sing.